On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new episode of Tall Can Sports. You can, of course, hit us up on social media at Tall Can Audio or facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. On the line is a hurting unit as we get ready to talk a little Raptors. How you holding up, Matty Lang? What's going on, man?
Buddy, one more. We got one more win.
I don't know if you're going to make it one more.
This has been a slow march of death for me, that's for sure. I'm slowly aging as this playoffs has gone on.
So our poor guy here, he's been balancing a conference for work, and some of you know how those conferences can go sometimes. He's been balancing the Toronto Raptors in the final and, you know, everything that goes along with those two. You know, clearly the voice is blown. Maybe the liver's blown at this point, but we are coming to the end of this 2-month run for the Raptors. Are you going to make it, man?
Oh, I got to tell you this part about the conferencing. Because people are coming from all over the U.S. and Canada for this, one of my good friends is actually from Oakland.
Oh, dear.
So we dragged him out to a bar, 15 Raptor fans strong. Obviously, an entire bar full of Raptor fans. And this motherfucker sat there with his Warriors t-shirt on and his Warriors hat on. And just with that stupid smirk on his face.
So this was just for game four?
This was game three.
Oh, game three. Okay.
And then yesterday night he was at the bar with us for game four as well.
Yeah.
Though we all looked a little fancier last night, but he was really talking a lot of shit at the beginning of that first quarter, and slowly as the night went on, he just got really quiet in the corner. So
yeah, I can see that. It's never any fun to be, you know, the only guy in a crowd who's going against the grain. I want to ask you about what we've seen here over the last couple games. I don't think we've talked since before game one.
That's correct.
So it's been a fascinating series. Really, the Raptors, if not for a bad third quarter in game two, could have swept this fucking thing. They have been the better team for, to my uneducated eye, probably 13 of 16 quarters.
Yeah, this has been an absolute domination. I don't think many people saw this coming, to be honest with you. I didn't. I was very hopeful and optimistic.
Yeah, how can you stretch this out, make it run long, not how do you get up 3-1?
That's it. I think we thought, you know, if the Raptors had a chance, it was going to be a long, drawn-out series.
Yeah.
We were going to have to make the Warriors work. I think what we're seeing is, you know, this is five championship finals in a row for the Warriors.
I think
that's right. A lot of basketball.
Yep.
That's a lot of basketball, right? I mean, just the numbers you play, and it's not it's ironic their theme is strength in numbers when really they're a bunch of stars, right?
Yeah.
And as the team has gone on, it's gotten a tighter and tighter unit. I think these guys are just tired. I think their bodies are breaking down. Right now it's basically Steph out there. Boogie looks awful.
Yeah.
I don't know how he pulled that one game together in game two where he had a great game.
Well, Clay's got a fucked up calf or whatever he's dealing with. Yeah, Looney's got a busted collarbone or something. Like,
I was super surprised, and being at a conference full of physios, as soon as they announced Kevon Looney being in the game yesterday, they all turned to me and said, "I thought you said he's going to be out the fucking year."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, come on, guys! Like, you're blaming me for this?"
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, listen, that what he suffered was a huge injury. I didn't get a chance to watch him, like, the minute details of Kevon Looney's game yesterday because I was kind of entertaining a bit.
Sure.
But I was super surprised.
I thought he was pretty effective, to be honest with you.
Like, and that's an injury where it's very hard to breathe and it's very hard to lift your hands above your chest.
Yeah.
Two things you need to do when you're playing
basketball. Of course, yeah. Well, and you can see, like, he's going to the free throw line and he's wincing as he's doing it, right? Which, I mean, the guy's a fucking warrior to even be out there. But, you know, there was a couple times where he missed both and you're like, maybe you shouldn't be out here, man. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, still a nice big body out there.
Yeah.
But I thought he was moving as good as, or if not better than Boogie was on one leg. Like you said, Clay's got, he's kind of on one leg with a hamstring injury. He did not want to miss a game, but he did not look effective yesterday at all. And of course, there's Kevin Durant, and the rumor is he's just not coming back.
Yeah.
He's trying to practice on it and he can't practice.
I wonder. Yeah, you'd like to think, you know, the driven athlete, and yeah, I know I want to get back, I want to win a championship, but if he's looking at this now going, we're down 3-1, I'm going to free agency, right, I'm not risking anything here, you know, if he's already kind of checked out a little bit, I don't know that, but it wouldn't shock me knowing him, right, and his personality a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's always the rumor going on, right, and I feel like part of it for him is showing that they can't win without him.
Yeah,
I think that's part of what he wants his legacy to be. I think he feels a little slighted.
Yeah,
especially after he got injured and they went on an absolute run. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's not exactly pushing to get back onto the court.
Right. Yeah. No. And as you said, as a free agent, this is good for him, right? To see that this loaded Warriors team can't do it without me, and so when he gets to free agency, he looks that much more valuable. He also looks like kind of a dick, but. You know, he's a hell of a basketball player.
Like a dick before, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Let's shift gears and talk about the Raptors a little bit, man, because defensively they have been unreal. I don't think anyone would have predicted you were going out to Oracle Arena in Oakland and taking two on the road and really taking two pretty handily, like pretty comfortably. What did you see in the two road games specifically? Because I know we haven't talked since before game one, but the first two are a ways back and. You know, it's hard to remember, but why were they able to, aside from the Golden State injuries, they just marched in there and just put their nose down and got it done in fairly comfortable fashion on the road?
Yeah, you know what, Matt? Let's not skip over the fact that this is just a really good fucking Raptors team,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the talk has been a lot about the Warriors and what the Warriors aren't doing.
Yeah.
But I really think the talk is what the Raptors are doing, and the Raptors are just mowing them down. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is putting in a playoff performance for the absolute ages.
Yeah, yeah.
This is right up there with some of the LeBron James playoff performances, right up there with some of the Michael performances.
Well, Kobe, Kobe's got a record of 9 road games in a playoff run with 30 points. Kawhi is at 8. Now, I don't want to give him a chance to play another road game.
Yeah,
but
let's let Kobe have that.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a hell of a run, man.
We're defensively, offensively, we're just seeing a guy who maybe outside of two quarters has been the best guy on the court at all times.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you alluded to game two in the third quarter, and I think yesterday in the first quarter they seemed a little bit off.
But
otherwise,
true.
They were fucking fantastic. Kyle Lowry, who didn't have a great home series, was been fantastic these two games in Oakland. Serge Ibaka.
Oh, he was unreal,
just
especially in that third quarter.
Yesterday.
Towards the end of
just
the third quarter, it was, like a 13-3 run or something to end the third, and it's Serge who's leading the fucking charge.
Yeah, they were talking about it on the low report there from the U.S. They did a little mini pod I listened to yesterday, like late last night.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's Serge Ibaka's greatest game. That's his greatest hits, you know? And this is a guy that when we brought Serge Ibaka in 3 years ago, this is the Serge Ibaka the Raptors thought they were getting to play LeBron.
Right.
And he's full marks for him right now because he's done this a couple times during the playoffs. He had that one big game I think it was game five against Philly that we really needed, you know. Mm-hmm. He had a similar performance where he just was like, no, you're not getting by me.
No.
You know, I'm gonna slap the ball out of your hands. I'm going to start hitting my jump shot automatically. Don't let me stand on the three-point line. The guy's been absolutely fucking lights out. I'm trying to think of who else to talk about.
I wanted to ask you,
Nick Nurse.
Yeah, no, he's made some interesting adjustments too. And I didn't pick it up until somebody pointed it out to me sort of late in the game, in game four, that there had only been 2 days between games three and four, which is strange because we've seen all these long breaks in this series. But with the health of Golden State and some of their guys playing banged up, it was really interesting to see early in game four, even though shots weren't dropping in the first quarter, the Raps were playing fast. They were getting out and running hard. And it was sort of an investment play, right? And you could just see that Golden State, while they were doing fine early in the game, had run out of gas and could not keep up with that for 48 minutes. And late in the game, they were dragging their asses a bit. And I think with them being so banged up, it was a really interesting thing early on for Nurse to convince those guys, get out, play fast, run the court, and it'll pay off later in the game. And it did, man. It really did late in the game.
Super, super interesting because Golden State is a team that nobody wants to run and gun with.
Yeah.
Everybody thought going into this, including when we had our chat,
yep,
that the Raptors were going to slow it down. We're going to go half court offense, try to slow them down defensively the same way, you know, be bigger, be stronger. So very, very interesting to see them actually run with and outrun the Warriors. Never even run with them. They outrun them.
And then part of that does go to the health of the Warriors, right? But if that's what they've got right now, then that's what you're going to try to exploit. And
exactly.
I thought it was brilliant, man. But what have you thought of Danny Green in this series? I thought he kind of bounced back in game three, did pretty well. He got off to a real cold start again in game four. We had seen that earlier in the series. We'd kind of seen that late in the Milwaukee series. He seems to, you know, he's getting some okay looks and he's still playing reasonably well defensively, but he's ice cold when he's shooting right now.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I think he had like one of the best 3-point percentages from a catch and shoot all season long.
Yeah.
And especially after we got Marc Gasol on the team, his shooting percentage went way up. I think if he was hitting his shots, the series would just be out of hand,
yeah,
to be honest with you. I think he's one of the only guys who isn't kind of feeling it right now.
Well, because at that time, Van Vliet stepped in and really picked up the slack. But, you know, it'd be, as you've said, this could be a burial if Danny Green's going.
Yeah, if he's hitting his shots, and he seems to be okay. But you're right, there's just no confidence as a fan, truthfully.
Yeah.
When Danny Green's got the ball, which is unfortunate because he's such a good defender, but you can't have him out in a tight game anymore.
Right. Yeah.
You need somebody who's going to hit their shots or, you know, at least make the other team, they think they're going to hit their shots,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Other than that, I mean, Fred Van Vliet, man, the Mr. Bet on yourself, right?
For sure.
Here's a guy who everybody's ready to bury in Toronto, and then he had his son, and maybe that's the monkey he needed to get off his back, but since then, this guy's been absolutely lights out. Man, what I really wanted to talk to you with is, you know, as we were trying to compare the Raptors and Warriors to hockey teams,
yeah,
last time we chatted,
yep,
there's been a lot of talk around work for me about what did these Raptors, like, who's the basketball team they remind you of?
Okay.
And right now there's a lot of talk that this is very reminiscent of the Pistons
when
they had their early,
the
early 2000s when they kind of just kept getting better and kept getting better as the playoffs went and ended up playing a star-studded Laker team.
Yep.
And just took them to the wash.
Yeah, I've been reading that same comparison. And for people who don't remember, you know, that was still the Shaq and Kobe LA Lakers, right? And that, you know, that could just blow people away, similar to what Golden State had been doing for a long time. And the Pistons were more this kind of hard-nosed, you know, dig in, as you said, get
dirty,
better as you go. Yes. Now, they didn't have a Kawhi. They had some nice pieces. I think Ben Wallace was on that team.
Rasheed Wallace. Yeah.
So I like that comparison and because it's pretty clear right now that if everybody was healthy, you know, Golden State's got the more star power, but Toronto appears to have the better depth, right? Deep into their roster in terms of being a good team, and you can count on defensively, you can count on guys to make their shots. Right now, that's Toronto, and that's sort of what Detroit did to LA. And as it went on, you could see it last night as you're watching, man. Steph looks frustrated. Clay especially looks frustrated. Draymond Green's taking technicals because he's so fucking wound up. The Raps are in their head right now. And I think especially, you know, when it became clear they were going to take that second game on the road, I don't think Golden State knows what to do with these guys. I think they're in their own heads a little bit.
It's interesting, right? Because the foil has always been LeBron in Cleveland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were almost the perfect foil for them every time. I don't think they expected this from the Raptors. I think the narrative in the U.S.
Any of us did.
Yeah. I'll say this. At least us in Canada, we get to see the Raptors.
Yes.
And we've watched them get better.
That's right.
And we've heard throughout the playoffs, well, you know, if Philly wasn't cold, well, if Milwaukee wasn't cold, at some point it's like the Raptors are just fucking a good basketball team.
The Raptors made you cold, motherfucker, right?
That's like, right. That's exactly it. And I think the narrative in the U.S. is still, oh, same old Raptors. Raptors lose game one. They'll fold under pressure, even though this is a completely different team that we all know that.
Yeah.
And I do think it's catching Golden State a little off guard. And I don't think they're responding well. And they also don't have the pieces right now.
Yeah.
You know, we'll never know how this would have turned out if Kevin Durant was here the whole time.
No.
But you know what? The Raptors can't apologize for that.
No,
either,
you can only beat right? who they put in front of you, man.
That's exactly it. You know, it's not the Raptors' fault. They don't have good backups and they're paying three guys way too much money.
Well, the Raptors have been missing OG for the entire fucking playoffs too, right? It's not like they're completely healthy. Kawhi's clearly still injured, like working through some shit. So, you know, I there's been a ton of talk of, you know, if we were healthy. And you know what? 2 weeks ago or a week ago or whenever this started, everyone was saying, even without KD, this is a laugher for Golden State. And now all of a sudden that they're down, it's like, well, yeah, actually, we needed those guys. Well, fuck you, right? Like, there's no asterisk here. You had to take down, you know, two so far and maybe three of the best offenses in the league this year in Philly, Milwaukee, and Golden State. And they're doing it. So, show some fucking respect.
What? And this is a team who had the second best record in the league.
Yeah.
While resting their two best players for most of the season. And they took down team number one and team number three, and both times they've been the underdogs.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking embarrassing.
I want to, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say there, Matt, the team that kind of gets lost in this, I was thinking about this past week. If you're Philadelphia, do you now think you're just that much closer?
You were a bounce away.
Right, like you were right at the precipice.
Yeah,
it's like, could this have been you guys? And maybe we all sold Philadelphia short.
Did you see Joel Embiid's tweet this morning, or it might have been late last night? I saw it this morning.
No, I didn't. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he had just quoted like TNT or ESPN or somebody, you know, an article saying the Raptors are one win away or whatever. And he just quote tweeted and said regrets. Right, so he knows they were that close. Right, like the game seven, it came right down to the wire. If that goes the other way, you know, maybe they go to overtime, whatever, but it could be Philly sitting there. Now, you know, whether Philly is a good matchup for Milwaukee the way Toronto was, who knows, right? But, you know, a little bit.
Listen, he's just regretful that he's going to be forever in that picture.
Yes, exactly.
Of Kawhi watching the ball go in.
No, it's
That's
true.
That's all he's pissed off about.
Yeah, yeah. So, to me, it's been interesting. I want to talk to you a little bit about what you expect and how this is going to have to be. What they're going to have to do to close out. But before we do, did you, I know you were out. I know you have some colleagues in town, this and that. Did you get a chance to see much of the reaction in Oakland of how many Raptor fans were there, how they sort of took over the bowl and the concourse afterwards? There was some cool shit coming out of there. We got some of it up at Talkin' Audio on Instagram, but did you get a chance to see much of it, man?
You know what? I was catching up a little bit on Twitter this morning. My favorite was when they started chanting CBC.
That was so weird. Yeah.
No, I was like, this doesn't even make sense. Like,
there's nothing on CBC. None of you have watched CBC in a decade, but all right, I get it. But they're singing
this
the anthem.
This is drunk Canadians in Oakland at this point, you know?
They're singing the anthem. They're chanting Go Raptors. But even during the game, there were times, especially late when they had clearly taken over the game and it was getting out of hand, you could hear the Raptors fan, and it was, I don't want to exaggerate, it wasn't as loud as when Oakland would score, but when Toronto would score, all through the game, you could hear a noticeable, you know, portion of the crowd cheering. Now, I don't know how many fans were actually there, maybe 1,500, right? But that's still incredible in the NBA Finals that you flew 4,000 kilometers. I can't translate for you that for you, America, if you're listening in. That's just how we do it up here. Yeah.
It's just far.
And at NBA Finals prices, right, that they were able to get those tickets. And, you know, the scene after the game where Golden State fans with time left are just streaming out. People aren't talking a whole lot about this being the last ever, well, if there's a game six, but this is the last time they will play basketball in Oakland at that arena before they move into a new one in San Francisco, and you're streaming out before it's over. And potentially, if Toronto were to win it in game five on Monday, the final people enjoying some time in that arena, the final memory of that arena will be Raptors fans singing "O Canada," chanting "Let's go Raptors," chanting CBC. Man, it was incredible to watch how many of them stuck around and were chanting and singing and having a great time. Just how many of them there were.
Just hearing you talk about it, I'm getting goosebumps again.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I fucking love this.
We took over.
It is absolutely, like, and we've talked about this and, like, bandwagon fans and all this.
Sure.
Listen, Toronto is just a different place right now.
Yeah.
Spring finally showed up, so it's actually beautiful right now, too, which really helps.
Yeah.
But this is a different goddamn place right now. You know, even last night, I went from one bar. I switched over to another to catch up. A friend of mine was throwing another event.
Oh, sure.
And as we were downtown,
people can start to understand what's happened to Maddie here.
Yeah. The slow death toll.
Yeah.
We tried to grab an Uber.
Right.
Couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, good fucking luck.
The cars were just lined up. You couldn't move. There was people all over the street on Front Street, honking horns. And this wasn't even a home game.
No.
This is a game that, yes, there are people at Jurassic Park. Yes, but it's just people in the city, people at the bar. It is absolutely insane. You cannot even get a table anymore at a bar.
Right.
They're just not even taking reservations. They're just telling you to show up an hour early.
Yeah, no doubt.
That is the scene in Toronto right now.
And to me, that's partly fueled by bandwagon, and that's fine. People are loving it. It wasn't the bandwagon fans who flew across the continent to Oakland. Those are your long-suffering Raptors hardcores who have waited a long time to see this, and they flew all the way there knowing they weren't going to see the team clinch there, right, just based on where the series was at, but still wanted to be a part of it, wanted to be there, wanted to cheer on the team. Unbelievable, man. And we see this a little bit. It's not quite the same, but with the Blue Jays, right, when they go to Seattle or when they go to Minnesota, right, the Prairie fans will come down a bit. When they go to Boston, the Maritime fans show up, and it's really cool, and especially when they're competitive. But even when they're not, some people kind of plan their you know, summer vacations around.
Yeah, vacations around that for sure.
And so now it's happening, and I'm watching some of the American broadcasts, and they're talking about how cool it is that many people would fly from Toronto, and I'm sure that was a good part of it. But it's Oakland. How many of those fans were from Vancouver or Calgary or, you know, anywhere out west? And at that point, it's an hour and a half flight and not a 5-hour flight. And, you know, maybe it was a little easier to get that done. It was still going to be expensive, but this.
Well, I'll tell you this, man. I was at game one, and there was a lot of the regulars, I call them, in my section that I recognize.
Yeah.
Game two, Raj took his son. That's my business partner for all you lovely listeners out there.
Right.
And he was chatting with everybody around him. Somebody was in from Montreal. Somebody had flown in from Halifax.
Wow.
Somebody was there from Calgary.
Yeah.
When everybody's complaining about can't get a ticket to the Raptors game right now, it's because everybody's actually flying into Toronto from across the country, realizing that this could be a once in a lifetime opportunity. Although with the rumor mill being what it is, and potentially Kawhi buying some property here over the next year or two, maybe we make another run at this, but it very well could be everybody from Vancouver, you know, taking a quick flight down, people who maybe work in California, but regardless, still an amazing feel to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's 3-1. Still got one to go. It's always the hardest one to close out a champion, especially. What have you seen? You know, I think we both predicted, you know, I think you said with the heart, Toronto in 7, but with the head, Golden State in 6. Here we are, Toronto up 3-1. Do you feel, you know, like they're
really make old Matty feel good about his prognostication?
Well, I think you were right where a lot of people were in terms of you'd like to see this go down, but you know, Golden State's a really good team. Do you feel like they're in Golden State's head enough? Do you feel like they're playing so well and clicking that it's just a matter of time now before they put the final nail in the bucket or in the coffin? Are you still a little worried that Golden State's going to make this long? Kind of where are you at with how this is shaken out and what's still to come?
I mean, there's still that, like, gnawing Raptor fan in me, right? That's like, fuck, if we don't close this out tomorrow, we're...
Gotta go to Golden State, and then anything happens,
you know,
in Game 7.
You never know.
Yeah.
Right, there's still that little gnawing bit of me that's, you know, still wearing a number 10 DeMar DeRozan jersey, just not sure what to do with my life. Right? But you try to put that aside. And from what we've seen, it's not like Golden State's just going to go to sleep, right?
No.
They're going to come out. They're going to punch us in the face, and it's going to be, how do the Raptors respond? But every time we've seen this, and I thought yesterday was great because Golden State went out big,
yeah,
and the Raptors couldn't hit a shot, and they just, pardon the pun here, but they clawed their way back.
Yeah.
Right? They just
That first quarter was fucking ugly offensively, but they hung around defensively, caused some turnovers, made some stops, and by the time the first half was over, you're only down by four, and I don't know if you got a chance to see Van Vliet's quotes after the game, but obviously they start the second half with Kawhi making two big threes and all of a sudden you're out in front. And I knew you were busy, but that's when I texted you like, holy fuck, here we go. And Van Vliet's quote after the game, somebody asked him, you know, what was it that made you guys able to turn it around in the second half and got it going? He goes, Kawhi comes out and hits two fuck you shots right off the top, right? So now everybody's fired up and ready to rock. So,
and I mean, we've talked about this a lot, right? And go back to the beginning of the year when we started talking about the Raptors, right? We said, this could be the best Raptor team ever assembled.
Yep.
And it all depends on Kawhi.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we knew we had delivered a superstar. And if he was going to play like the guy we saw 2 years ago, this was going to be a very fun year for us.
Yeah.
And he's more than delivered,
oh,
right?
Man. I mean, yeah.
He said, this is the type of playoff series that when NBA TV does his anthology when he retires, they are going to put a fucking hour and a half just about this playoff series, yeah, right? Or playoff run.
Yep.
Because this has been beautiful. And he's essentially doing it on what seems like one and a half legs at this point, right?
Yep.
He's clearly fighting something. His legs aren't what they were at the beginning. But, man, fuck. I mean, he's got the entire next season to rest, essentially. I don't even think the Raptors are going to make him play one regular season game next year. He can just play a quarter at a time as far as we care.
Yeah. So, you know, you're sort of expecting, you know, Golden State to put up a fight, but, you know, how long?
Yeah. I mean, let's be serious about this, right? I mean, they're going to come out and, yeah, they always have that great third quarter run. I think we're going to see them come out on fire in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You know Steph Curry is going to do his little bite his fucking mouth guard and swagger away after hitting a couple threes.
Yeah.
Klay is going to give us everything he absolutely has. I think the wild card in this is going to be if Durant plays.
Yeah.
And he's just such an enigma at this point and whether he's actually part of this team or not. But I do think because they're in Toronto and even though they're all friends with Drake, I think they want to put, you know, they want to shut Drake up a little bit.
For sure.
I think that adds a little something to it. I think Draymond's going to come out. He's been embarrassed a little bit in this last couple games by Pascal.
Yeah.
He's going to come out on fire. I don't think it's going to be an easy win, but it's also very, very easy for me to believe that if the Raptors hit a couple big shots in the third quarter, it could be an absolute run and we could get some Jeremy Lin time again. You know? Maybe we'll get some Boucher in there. Malcolm Miller.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if Linsanity comes out, if Linsanity is on the floor as the Raptors win the Larry O'Brien trophy, China might erupt. Never mind Toronto.
Yeah. No, you know what? That's a great point, man. And, you know, you could already see maybe some of your stars celebrating on the bench with Boucher and Lin out on the court to finish it out. But this could be, you know, where do you kind of – you know, the hockey landscape has changed so much since the Leafs won a cup. You and I have no idea. We both have strong memories of the Blue Jays in 15 and 16, you know, some weaker ones of the Jays in 92 and 93,
yeah,
just based on age.
Sure.
Where do you think, you know, in sort of the, I guess the Jays is the best comparison, but where would a championship fit? You know, this would have to be the biggest thing to hit Toronto sports maybe ever, just because of media attention and social media and the way that this you know, the city has changed since 67 as well into being a far more diverse and multicultural place, like we've discussed before, where basketball probably is a bigger sport to Toronto right now in terms of interest than hockey in some ways, right, in terms of numbers. But how do you think this would fit if they could get it done? What does it do to the city of Toronto?
Man, Matt, that's a fantastic question, because just the size of the city, just the diversity in the city right now.
Yeah.
I think we've already bypassed the bat flip and the runs from
so
the
too.
Jays a couple of years ago. You know, I think once Kawhi hit his shot, that was the moment for me where we were like, okay, we've passed that Blue Jay team.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
the fan
point.
Interest is just we've now like separated ourselves from that.
Right.
This is such a, I mean, hey, we always hate to compare it to them to the Leafs, right? Especially in 67. I mean, it was a far different city.
Yep.
Size, diversity, just, you know, everything about the city would have been different. The celebration would have been different.
For sure.
This is maybe the biggest moment for the city.
I think itself. So, man. I think so.
You know, this is a moment where Toronto's definitely, as much as Toronto can be an up-and-coming city, but more on the global scale, an up-and-coming city. This is really a celebration of Toronto right now that's gone bigger than the Raptors, right? The Raptors are actually what's bringing the city together at this moment and bringing the entire country along with the city of Toronto. And I think you're right, and I hadn't thought about that, to be honest. And I think that's a great point. This might be the biggest moment in Toronto sports history. Right up there when Donovan
Donovan Bailey.
Donovan Bailey running at the Sky Dome, right? That's the only other thing I can think of that comes up to my mind.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody who, you know, is not a huge sports fan and was asking why this had suddenly blown up so big. Understood that they were in the finals, but I had to explain that in terms of international media, like if the Leafs won the Cup tomorrow, it would be huge, and every media outlet across Canada would be here. There would be some American stuff here, but that'd be about it, just because of the nature of hockey. Basketball, there's been Chinese media, there's European media, there's Brazilian, Argentinian media. Like, basketball is worldwide. And when you got to look at Media Day before the thing started, it looked like a fucking Super Bowl, right? And
and
it's just so big. And so to put Toronto on the scale where the world is watching for a sporting event like this, I said to them, you know, this is probably the most international media that has watched a sporting event in Canada since Vancouver 2010, right?
And yeah, 100%.
That's the scale we're on now, and it's just dragged out that much longer because it's a series, and, you know, instead of a one game like a Super Bowl or whatever it might be. But that's the scale that's on right now. And this thing about Toronto being the lovable losers and oh Canada and whatever is possibly about to get just shattered if a Toronto team wins the championship and does it as convincingly as they have done it thus far. Man, I really believe this might be the biggest thing to ever happen in Canadian, well, in Toronto sport, for sure. We can talk about other cities who've hosted Olympics and stuff like that. But in terms of Toronto sports, this is probably it if they get it done, man.
And, I mean, man, you just said it, though. And I know you wanted to shy away from it. Outside of, and I'm going to have to go to hockey here, because I know in Vancouver a lot of great stuff happened.
Yep.
But the reality is, it really came down to that hockey game, right?
Only for us, though, right? Like,
I'm not. Yeah, but you're right. Only for Canadians.
Like the Dutch are watching the speed skating thing, and the Russians and some of these other
fucking Dutch,
they're killing us in it, right? But Calgary and Montreal Montreal has hosted a summer games, right? And how much of the world watched that? Just because we sucked at it doesn't mean that everybody else did, right? So, in terms of attention. I think on that scale, those might still outdo this a little bit. But in terms of a Toronto scale, this has to be the biggest. This has to be the biggest.
Oh, yeah. That's not even, I remember when TFC won their championship.
Yeah.
And I thought it was crazy because that night I happened to be in Peterborough visiting our close personal friend.
Sure.
And
who's having a birthday today? Happy birthday, Holly.
Happy birthday, Holly.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. Don't forget to call her.
I think it's birthday 29 for her.
Yeah, again?
Yeah. She did it so well the first five times. Why change a thing? And I thought it was crazy that the bars in Peterborough were showing TFC. In an October night, random Friday or Saturday night, whatever it was, and the bars in Peterborough were showing it. And I thought, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This far exceeds that.
Oh, man, yeah.
This just surpasses it on every fucking step. And again, I mentioned it earlier, but the fact that an away game shut downtown Toronto down is just wild. I mean, I was telling somebody, you know, I'll be there at game five. Okay. And if the Raptors win, I might, like, nobody might hear from me for like a good 3 days.
Well, we can barely hear you now. So I'm not sure what'll be left of you, man. I'm a little worried about you, to be honest. Well, there won't be, I'll have to have Maddie, like, do a Tall Can Sports blog, because he won't be able to talk to come on the podcast after the championship.
I might be dead. Yeah. I don't even know.
No,
I was joking with somebody that you might find me half naked in Tobacco if the Raptors win. I might have no recollection of anything. Or I might just be stuck in downtown traffic for 3 days.
That's far more likely, just stuck in the same place for weeks at a time.
Yeah, that might actually be good for me. Might keep me honest a little bit, you know?
Yeah. No, you know what? It's been a hell of a run. They're one win away. You know, you try not to count your chickens before they hatch, but it's clear everyone's excited. It's clear that it's right there with one more, you know, great performance. And it was very clear when those guys walked off the court after game four to make it up 3-1. Not a smile to be had, no hugging, no whatever. There was a couple of, you know, your normal, we just won a regular season high fives and stuff. But Kyle Lowry was stone-faced. Kawhi Leonard didn't even look up as he walked off. The job is not done. They are not close to satisfied. And I think, if anything, what that did was send a message to an already frustrated Golden State team that said, this is not going to get easier for you, right? And I think that was important. I love to see that stuff. And, man, it's been awesome. They're one win away. Golden State's got to beat them 3 in a row now to get this done. That's not going to be an easy task for any team. It's been awesome. I'm jacked up. I think clearly the city of Toronto's jacked up. It would be amazing if they could get this done at home.
Oh, man. The Raptors don't have to celebrate their wins because the city's celebrating far too much. You know, I can't remember who it was. Now, I think it was Fred VanVleet who did come out and say, you know, after game three, no celebrating.
Yeah.
Right? This is work. We're here to do work. And we got more wins to get, right? And at that point, he was like, you know, we're only up 2-1. That doesn't mean a thing.
So, last question for you then. When we talked before the series, you were going to game one. You weren't going to go to game two, but you said you'd be waiting for them for game five. Now that that's become a possible clinch game, I've seen some of the prices floating around on StubHub and whatever. Will Matty Lang be in the building for game five?
You know what? I just for fun before the game, I did look.
Yeah.
And it was about $3,500 for the tickets beside me, Canadian. And you had to have that moment, and I joked with somebody and said, wonder what it's going to be if they win, and it could be a clincher, right? But listen, the moment, for me, the moment is too big. The moment is too big to even take the money. And listen, everybody could use an extra $7,000, right?
Of course, yeah.
But to be the big sport fans that we are, right? To have been a Raptor fan for 24 years now and lived through all this shit, I don't think you can put a price on that. To be in the building, to be there to experience what could be the celebration, what could be the championship that we have not had in Toronto in the big four sports.
Right.
I don't know what the price would have to be for somebody to hand me a check for me to go, okay, I'm content with my choice today.
Wow.
So I will be there. I will be running the Instagram account for Tall Can Audio.
Yeah.
I will be hopefully posting celebration beers as opposed to sad Maddie beers.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I cannot not be there.
Little envious, man. I will say I saw this morning there was a pair courtside going for $90,000 on Instagram or on StubHub. No, they'll be full. The building will be jam-packed. The Larry O'Brien trophy will be in the building. And hopefully it gets handed out while you're there, man. Would be unreal.
Yeah. And if it does, I apologize for all the crying pictures on Instagram that I'm going to be posting. Because I'm going to be crying like a baby.
That a boy, man.
Tears of joy.
That a boy.
For once.
Yes, exactly. There's, Toronto sports fans are very, very used to crying. It's just not usually out of happiness.
That's right.
Maddie, we appreciate you battling through. It's been a hell of a week. You've got a couple more days still to continue to battle before the run is over, but hopefully it ends the way we want it to. You can follow Maddie on Twitter at Matthew Lang. He's on Instagram at Matt Does Physio. I know it's been a busy week. You got anything up on the blog right now? Or
not too much. Just some conference photos of me actually dressed up for once in my life.
Look at this high roller.
Yeah, I know. Busted out the two suits I own, you know.
One leftover from high school graduation.
Yeah, exactly. About two sizes too big still, but, you know, I do what I can with what I got, you know.
Of course. Yeah.
So, yeah, not too much on the business side, but everybody was bugging me last night that I should be updating my business or my injury blog, since everybody that I said was out for the year is actually coming back from the Warriors. You know, who needs enemies when you got friends like that?
Exactly, man. Exactly. I'm hoping that your Golden State friend has a terrible Monday and everybody else has a great one. But we will wind this one down. As I said, Maddie, appreciate you battling through. I know it's been a busy week and today has been a rough day. So appreciate the time.
I look forward to taking over the Instagram account on Monday night.
Absolutely.
And I look forward to the written blog
exactly.
on Tuesday to celebrate.
It's the same thing with that Zdeno Chara did, right? Where he had his jaw broken, so he couldn't answer questions for the media, so he was like writing it down on a fucking chalkboard. Shit. We'll have to have some sort of written pod for Maddie. But we'll wind this one down. Maddie's got things to do and things to recover from. That's Tall Can Sports. We will catch you all on the next episode. See ya.
Listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.